Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. What would you have done without Mount Calvary and that man called Jesus? Oh, we praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost, and when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old. I believe in this life with its great mysteries. Surely one day will come to an end. Oh, but faith will conquer. And leave me safe home to my friend. Oh, I believe in the Lamb who was slain on the cross. He has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely. Now a new life is mine, and that is why by the cross I will stand. Oh,
I'll go so far as to say, if you're clinging to anything but that cross, you're in for great disappointment. Because he'll never leave us nor forsake us, and he'll never fail us. Amen. Did you hear those words? Never fail. He's a can't lose God. I'd really like to throw my head back and preach. But I kind of got to watch myself. Luke chapter 22. It's so good to be back and standing with you and worshiping with you. I'm about 90%. I'm just going to believe, God, that my voice is going to hold up, that I'm not going to have one of those coughing fits, because I believe I have a word for this house. I've been laid on that couch too long. This is my first message to you this year. And most pastors want to have a word from God for the flock, for the sheep, and I'm no different. I had prepared, thought I knew what I was going to preach, and I told y'all I wasn't going to tell Josh and Duke anymore because God always changes it. And so I went and stuck my foot in my mouth, and I told Josh and Duke what I thought God wanted me to preach, and that was out of 1 Samuel 17. And we'll get there at some point. But this afternoon, God began to deal with me and give me a word for you tonight. To start this year off right. Because you see, none of us, regardless of if we're saved or lost, regardless of how long we've been saved or lost, the thief, the devil, our adversary, our enemy, cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We need to remind one another probably way more regularly than we do that this thing called life, ups and downs, goods and bads, is going to ultimately end in eternity. And there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The realities of both of those so exceed our imagination. Scripture says of heaven that eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of a man those things the Lord hath prepared for them that love him. The flip side of that is the description of hell is that it's a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, a place of extreme torment forever. There is no end to it. And I am not a scare tactic preacher. Y'all know me if you've been around very long. But I am the preacher that will tell you the truth. And the truth is this: God loves you, the devil hates you. God wants to save you. The devil wants you lost. He wants to steal, kill, and to destroy those things in your life and in your future and in your relationships and in your businesses that God wants to breathe blessings upon. The devil does not want you to experience the goodness of God, the peace of God, the love of God, the wisdom of God, the presence of God, the blessings of God. The devil does not want you to experience those things, period. So, he's on a mission. Luke chapter 22, Jesus has just had what we call the Lord's Supper with his disciples. And immediately thereafter in verse 31, we pick up there, it says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon," and you can put your name right there, by the way, "behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Verse 39. "And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them," very important words here, "pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, If thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And when they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and he said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Then took they and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned, and he looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out, and he wept bitterly. Before we can begin this journey of 2017 to accomplish the things that God has destined in our futures individually and collectively, we have first got to make sure things are right between me and God, you and God, keeping in mind that we have an adversary and we have an enemy, not one that we have to fear, not one that we have to be intimidated by, but one that we have to be on guard and aware that he exists and that he don't like me. And he's on a mission. And I want us to learn from some of the mistakes that Peter made so that we don't repeat them, so that we don't set ourselves up for failure. Now, let me just go on out and tell you this. This is not the first time I've preached this message. I preached it here a few years ago. But the Lord brought this back to me tonight because there are many of you under the sound of my voice in this auditorium. There are many that will hear this via the webcast, via CDs, coast to coast, actually around the world. Did you know that little old Greenwood, this place, people are aware of what's going on around the world? And we hadn't even tried to make that happen. It's just happened. It's God. But anyway, we have to recognize the fact that you are responsible for me. You are responsible for you. We look at Peter when Jesus told him point blank, Peter, Simon, Veronica, Kyle, Jimmy, Bill, Skeet, whoever, Satan desires to have you that he may sift you. That's a violent shaking. That's a roughing you up, so to speak. That's a getting up in your grill, getting in your mess, getting in your business, making your life chaotic. That's what he wants to do. Jesus is telling him that. Then he says, I found this strange, but I've prayed for you Do you know the Lord prays for us? I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. You say, well, I saw in the story where he failed. He failed, but his faith didn't fail. So the first thing that I want us to look at and recognize, we find in verse 33 where Peter has this arrogance about him, has this pride about him that says, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Everybody else may fail you, not me. You can count on me. I'm the man. He began to have this self-righteousness about him that the Lord addresses later on in another way. He says it this way. He said, if any man among you think that he stand, let him take heed lest that he fall. You see, when we get to that place that we think we're all that, whoo, look out. So guard against pride. See, the Lord resists the proud, but he exalts humility. Walk in humility. Carry the big stick, the thunder of the word of God. You see, humility and meekness is not weakness. It's strength. It's power. It's recognizing the fact that no matter what adversary comes, I got this. You know, there was a time when I thought I was pretty tough. And that's why my nose has got this big hump right in the middle of it. But I learned it's not the mouth that you got to worry about. It's that guy that's sitting over there minding his own business until it's time for action. And you see, the same applies in the spiritual world. It ain't the one that's always running around beating his chest like the Pharisee five times in one verse says, I thank my God that I'm not like other people are. I tithe and I this and I that and I this and I that. Oh. Don't be a chest beater. Be one that walks humbly before the Lord. Be one that's led by his Spirit until it's time to stand in the face of the enemy, in the might and the power of the Spirit of the living God, on the Word of God, and fight the battle of faith, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, so that you can see him come through for you. See, you are relevant. You are why he died. You are why he went through the suffering and the shame that he did. Not just for someone else, it's for you. So guard against that pride. Pride goeth forth before a fall. Secondly, we see in verse 45, 46, where there was this neglect of prayer. Jesus warned them two different times, pray so that you don't enter into, he didn't say so that you're not tempted, but so that you're not entered into temptation. We're going to all be tempted. We're going to all have the opportunity to do right or to do wrong, to make a good choice, to make a bad choice, to stand or to buckle and fall, to run or to fight. We're going to all be faced day in and day out, time and time again, with the opportunity to do that. What choice will you make? You see, prayer changes things, or prayer empowers you to go through things. It's through prayer that the Spirit of the Lord will give you warnings, checks in your spirit, some people will say, but he will give you warnings of, be careful about that business deal. Oh, no, that's not really the right mate for you. It's through prayer, which is just simply communication with God. It's not only talking to God, it's listening. Communication's what? Two-way. And so many of us, I've said so many times before, we come to God like sitting on Santa Claus's lap, and we tell him what we want, and then we hop down and we're gone. God wants you to listen. Yes, let your need and request be made known unto him. Yes, petition him. Yes, ask him. Then listen. Listen. You see, he's no respecter of person. He doesn't speak just to the preacher. He wants to speak to anyone that has a hearing ear to hear what the Spirit of God would say. He wants to talk to you. How's your prayer life? Is it just at mealtime? I've shared this story with you before. Mom's not here tonight. My wife's keeping her. But I love to pick and poke and prod my mama. Boy, I could fire her up too. And one day, not long before she moved in with my sister when she still lived alone over on Twilight, I went by to eat, and someone was with me. I don't remember who it was, but anyway, I winked at it. It was Ronnie White. I winked at him like, watch this. Mama sets the food out there on the table. She says, say the blessing, son. And I did. When I got through, I said, Mama, I can tell you how you don't have to pray over meal every time you sit down to eat. Just when you got it all in the grocery basket at the store, pray over it all right then. You don't have to pray but once. Man. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If But the point is that to so many people, that's the essence of their prayer life. I want to encourage you to be committed to prayer, be faithful to prayer, be in the habit, the practice, whatever word you would want to use, of prayer and communicating with God. It needs to be an attitude of prayer throughout the day, all day, every day. You need to have a hearing ear to listen to the voice of God and to talk to Him throughout the day. Thirdly, we see in verse 54, or Peter was afraid to identify with Christ. When they arrested him and began to take him off, we see in there where it says that Peter followed from afar off. Look, we don't need to be lukewarm Christians. We need to draw nigh unto Him so that He draws nigh unto us. We need to get as close to Him as we can possibly be. We need to be in a position that He can't stop without us running into Him. Don't be afraid to identify with, I'm a believer, I'm a child of God, and I'm going to look to Him, and I'm going to believe Him for the miracle that I need in my life, in my relationship, in my marriage, in my business. I'm going to watch God save your marriage. I want to see God as I pray and stand in the gap and fast and pray for your circumstance, that God somehow turns your business around and somehow makes a way where there seems to be no way. We need to be a people that are not afraid to identify with Christ, because after all, it's not your reputation that's on the line, it's His. See, we've got to get it in our heart, get it in our spirit, that the Lord watches over His word to perform it. Now, at the same time, we've got to have that hearing ear so that we know what steps to take and we know how to pray so that we know what to pray for. I'm going to say this. I'm not going to camp long. I'm going to move on. There are times that we know exactly how to pray. We know God wants our marriages redeemed and saved. So we know how to pray for that and to believe for that. Now, there are other times when we don't necessarily know exactly how we should pray. And that's when the prayer comes in that, Lord, I don't even really know what to ask for. Sometimes the Holy Spirit makes intercession and prays for you. Sometimes you end with the Lord, your will be done, because I don't even know how to ask in this situation. I don't even know what to believe for, but I'm trusting you. I'm going to rely upon you because I know that you'll withhold no good thing from me. I know you have my best interest at heart, so I'm going to look to you, the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm going to lean on you. I'm going to trust you to do what's right and to be that on-time God every time. And then in verse 55 is my fourth point, where Peter gets into the courtyard and how he sat down among the heathen. Listen to me. This is one of the biggest mistakes that we Christians make, is we let our social life, let me preface that with this. We should be friends of the sinners. just like Jesus was. And there are times that we can be on a mission sent by God to go into places and circumstances and situations to minister to people. But if those same situations and circumstances become your everyday social life where you hang out and you begin to participate in the things that they are, you're headed down a road of destruction. You're headed down a road of failure. And the Lord doesn't want that for you. I found, and I was talking to Skeeter about this the other day, God gets way too much blame and the devil gets way too much credit. When really it's me, my choices that I've made, good or bad. I'm a byproduct of the choices that I have made. You are too. Quit blaming others. Yes, I realize that there are circumstances that impact, but ultimately in the end, be quick to hear and slow to speak. Seek the wisdom of God. Seek the counsel of the one who knows everything. And if we'll learn from Peter's mistakes and not commit them ourselves, but do the opposite of what he did, we can walk in victory. We can walk in the peace of God. We can walk in the power and the might of the Lord. We can walk in victory. God does not want us to be the devil's punching bag. He wants us to be the victor, not the victim. It's that plain. It's that simple. Would you bow your heads?